Biblical Principles of Answered Prayer. Last night, we dealt with point number one. We need to pray. It's on your notes there. We need to pray scripturally. And I think it is, isn't it? There, yeah, okay. And number two, we need to pray thoroughly. And we spread that thoroughly out so you can understand it as we brought together all the scriptures and put them together for you of the avenues of approaching God. Let's see how well we can remember last night. We wrapped it up with the five biblical principles of how we approach God. Who can tell me number one?
Adoration.
Thank you, Aaron. Followed by? Thanksgiving. Followed by? Confession. Followed by? Petition. Followed by? Intercession. Give yourself an A. All right? That's excellent. Now, church, there are infinite, listen to what I'm saying. There are infinite possibilities in little beginnings if God's in it. God's in this church, folks. God's in the purpose and the goals of this body of believers. And God's working in our behalf. And if you and I will put into practice what we've learned Sunday and last night and tonight, folks, it is the start of new beginnings. Amen. So here we go. I kind of chuckled when a little boy was going to his room to go to bed at night. And he said, "Hey, Mom," he said, "tonight," he said, "I think I'm going to say my prayers." He said, "Won't God be surprised?" Well, let's not have that kind of an attitude of prayer that God is surprised at who's knocking on the door. Number three, we are to pray intimately. We are to pray intimately. The word intimate is a biblical word. God taught us intimacy all the way back in the Old Testament when he soared, if I can say it that way, above all the other gods and all the other religions, when he communicated to Israel and thus to us that he doesn't want us to have a religion, he wants us to be in right relationship. And that is intimacy. That is intimacy. God is the only one who initiated intimacy in relationship. And that's what makes this thing so powerful. So here we go. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Look at your notes or the screen. The key emphasis is on shutting the door to everything. I'm going to repeat it because this is important. The key emphasis is on shutting the door to everything. Don't let other things, other thoughts, take attention away from your prayer time. Shut the door. I live in a culture, folks, that's a very, very busy culture. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got a place to go, things to do. I live in a technological, very busy world. And it is becoming more and more difficult to get people to get off of the merry-go-round and spend time with God and focus and connect, folks. Dozens and dozens and dozens of times, people kneel, go to the altar, but they're not really there. They're still back at work. They're still back at the job site. They're still wrapped up with that busy thing. They're engrossed in what they didn't get done and thinking how they've got a problem and they're trying to work it out. God says, knock it off. Knock it off. In my family responds to me at times with earth to dad. Earth to dad. And when they started doing that, I suddenly realized we're having a conversation, but I'm not there. My mind is somewhere else. And boy, the kids picked up on it right away. Earth to dad, come and join us. Your body may be here, but we need the rest of you. And that's the same in prayer, folks. I have been challenged in this area, just like I'm challenging you. Don't pray and have your mind wandering all over. Don't pray to God while you're trying to solve problems, or you've got to shut the door. That's how we establish intimacy. The key emphasis, once again, is on shutting the door to everything else. Don't let other things or other thoughts take attention away from your prayer time. Shut the door. Connect. Come together. When Jesus gives this statement in Matthew 6:6, Jesus is stressing intimacy with the Father. Church, in your notes on the screen, this is so important. To know Him, you must spend time with Him. I know you're taking notes, but I'll take a half an amen here. Amen. It takes time to develop intimacy because this is a relationship. To know Him, you must spend time with Him. Back to Sunday morning. Prayer is not a crisis ministry. It isn't something we do when all else fails. Prayer is a lifestyle, folks. Can you imagine? I would not be standing here, a married man, folks, if the only time I was interested in Arlene is when we were in a crisis. Hello? The reason why the marriage is so solid is because we spent time together. We know each other. The tragedy is she reads me like a book. But we are intimate because we spend time together. Listen to this quote. Bishop Taylor says, his first act of the day was to look to heaven, throw the sheets off the bed, and kneel, saying, precious Lord, the bed is my altar. My life is a sacrifice. I affirm I am your living sacrifice today. Then, wherever he went, he would ask people, what did you have in your quiet time today? That's intimacy. Spending time together. Psalms puts it this way, 27:4, you have it. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. I confess to you last night that I am not ashamed or embarrassed when I tell you, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I am passionately hungering after them, and I love the fact that they accept me into the family, folks. Amen. Amen. I am not ashamed to tell you that I seek after Him. That's why I told you last night, that experience on the mountain, riding that horse, folks, going hunting, that's big in my life, because I realized in that moment that I was involved in a world bigger than my human world. And my encounter with God, my presence in the His presence and my presence tying together in worship and prayer, and suddenly realize it didn't matter all of this worldly stuff as much as humanly I love doing what I'm doing, riding that horse to hunt. A bigger world came into my world because we intimately walk with God. Amen. Amen. Dr. Graham Scroggie put it this way: the greatest mistake a preacher can make is to imagine that increased spiritual activity compensates for secret communion. I can see the Levitical priests each morning and evening quoting, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name." Why is it, church, when we come into the house of God, it becomes a funeral service? Why is that? Think about it. Just think about it. You know, I'm talking about a church you may visit, like Mary in San Diego or something. But think about it. Come on. Why is it we're reluctant to raise our hand? Why is it we're reluctant to open our mouths and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name"? Church, intimacy releases you to express the depth of your emotions in love by reciprocating from the other person's love. I'm never embarrassed to be in a crowd with Arlene. I'm never embarrassed to grab her hand and walk in public. I'm never embarrassed if she decides to plant one on me. I light up like a Christmas tree because she's my wife, my best friend, and we have developed an intimacy, folks. And I'm not embarrassed in my walk with the Lord. I love to be in his house. I love what David said. I love your house, the place where your glory dwells. How can I be in his presence and not lift my voice? How can I be in his presence, folk, and not cry out with a voluminous expression of adoration and worship and devotion? It's called intimacy. Intimacy. I've got a friend in Montana. He is a great guy, but I don't hunt with him. He loves to hunt. And I mean, he is in love with God. He's an excellent preacher. I was the one who brought him to Montana. And he's pastored some of our fine churches and done an excellent job. He was a district leader. Now he's retired and he's working as a helper in the district. He's a great guy, but I don't go hunting with him because we'll be slipping through the timber and all of a sudden you'll just hear, "Oh, praise God." Oh, well, there went the elk. We'll be slipping along, and all of a sudden, "Oh, hallelujah." I don't hunt with him because we never get anything. But boy, what an expression of intimacy. He can't help himself. He is so in love with the King of Kings, folks. And I challenge you, let's be the same. Listen to Dr. Spurgeon. This is so good. Church, he says, keep the altar of prayer burning. This is the very life of all piety. The sanctuary, the family altar, borrow their fires there. Therefore, let this burn well. Secret devotion is the very essence of evidence, is the very essence of evidence and a barometer of the vital and experimental religion of our relationship. Burn here the fat of your sacrifices. Let your closet seasons be regular, frequent, and undisturbed. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let us examine ourselves in this important matter. Do we engage in lukewarmness in our private devotion? Is the fire of devotion burning daily in our hearts? Do the chariot wheels drag heavily? If so, then let us go with weeping and ask for the spirit of grace and supplication to revive us again that we may rejoice in him. And I'll take 2,000 amens here. Amen. Amen. God, church, this is so good. So it's in your notes. Let's walk through it together. God respects not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many they are, not the rhetoric of our prayer, how eloquent they are, not the music of our prayers, how melodious they are, and not the logic of our prayers, how methodical they are. But God respects the sincerity of our prayers, how heartfelt they are. Amen. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Don't be the Pharisee. Don't do that. God, I thank you that I'm not like this guy here. The Pharisee did that, brother. Can you believe it? I thank you that I'm not like this guy here. And then he said, I fast 2 times a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, you're lucky to have me in the family. And then he named the ugliness of the Pharisee. And then Jesus spoke. And Jesus said, not good. Not good. Because the Pharisee, when he prayed, he didn't say, I did this and this and this. All he said was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went away justified, where the other man was hung up in himself. Church, don't be that way. Don't be hung up in yourself. Don't be embarrassed to raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed to say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you out of the depth of my being. Don't let anything come in between you and your intimacy with God. And I'll just take another 3,000 amens here. Dr. George Washington Carver wrapped it up for us. My prayers seem to be more of an attitude, he said, than anything else. I indulge in no lip service, but I ask the great God silently, daily, often, many times a day, to permit me to speak to him. I ask him to give me wisdom and understanding and bodily strength to do his will. Hence, I am asking and receiving all the time. Jeremiah put it this way, chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Intimacy. And then we wrap it up with pray intensely. You know, through the years, every once in a while, I will announce from this pulpit how much I love to hunt and fish. That's who I am, folks. It's just God wired me that way. One day, this is such a kick. John and Joy were younger, and we were in a church, and somebody went up to John, and they said to him, do you like to hunt and fish like your dad? And John thought for a moment, and he looked up. He's just a young, just barely a teen, and he looked up, and he said, yeah, but not with the same intensity. Intensity is a powerful thing, folks. Let me illustrate. This is so cute. A little boy was praying intensely. And the pastor passed by as he was praying, and he was intrigued because the little boy was praying, Tokyo! Tokyo! Oh, Tokyo! And after the little boy finished praying, the pastor, you know, he was pleased that he was praying, so he walked up and he said, son, he said, I really was pleased to see you down there praying tonight and so devotedly praying, but he said, I was a little wondering about the Tokyo. Why were you praying Tokyo? And the little boy looked up and he said, Pastor, he said, I just had my geography test, and I was asking God, please make Tokyo the capital of France. Intensity. Intensity. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, but if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. I ended intimacy with this kind of a scripture. I start intensely with this kind of a scripture. Now I want you to walk with me through the scriptures as it exhorts us, folks, to get with it when it comes to intensity. The scripture admonishes us to seek God with all of our heart. Look at it. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land. Psalm 42:1-2. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they who keep the statutes, that's all the word of God, and seek him with all their heart. Psalm 119:10. I seek you with all my heart. Psalm 119:58. I have sought your face with all my heart. Hebrews 11:6. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. 1 Chronicles 28:9. If you seek him, you will be found by him. Solomon was being instructed to seek God. Church, prayer is not a crisis ministry, but you've got to put your heart into it. Come on, folks. Come on. If you are intimate and intense about something, you put your heart into it. I know, because I travel from church to church, and I watch the carnality of Christians who, forgive me of the illustration, but it's so appropriate. They could have been a part of the spiritual emphasis of the church, but carnally they were intently involved in their own selfish, self-centered lives. And then later on the journey, they show up in my office. Pastor, pray for us, help us. Their kids are in the drugs. Their daughter's pregnant. Their children are all messed up. And they want us to wave the magic wand over them and correct it in a second of time. It doesn't work like that, folks. It doesn't work like that. You've got to put your heart into this thing. It's a simple cry of nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Church, Jesus is not our religion, he's our life. And everybody said, amen. It's an intense, intimate relationship. Look at your notes or the screen. Intensity means to work at a task with exceptionally strong concentration. Shut the door. It means to give everything one has to the matter at hand. To give everything one has to the matter at hand. Church, don't give God just the leftovers. We give our time, our money, our talents, our energy, and all of ourselves to the things we value. We give, listen, our time, our money, our talents, our energy, and all of ourselves to the things we value. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to step to the plate and let God give you a greater love and devotion for him. Let God become of greater value. Let Jesus become of greater value. Let the Word of God come alive to you and become of greater value, church. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know I'm honored to stand here and challenge you this way because you're that kind of people. You don't come out on Tuesday night because you're committed to mediocrity. You want to be here. You want to hear. You want to know. You want to grow. And I'm just so blessed to minister to that kind of people. But in that context, I still challenge you. Let God expand your devotion, your depth of intimacy, your intensity to seek after him because you love him of great value. Amen. Isn't this good? Isn't this good? Here is a quote. Any failure in our life is a prayer failure because God answers prayer. Peter was in prison. Remember the story in Acts? His friends were all at the home praying for him. I love this story. It's a kick. An angel lets Peter out of prison, and he goes to the friend's house, and he knocks at the door. Rhoda answers and asks, "Who is there?" Peter says, "It's Peter." She doesn't open the door and let him in. She runs into the other people in disbelief and says, "Peter's at the door." The people said, "You gotta be nuts." And there's a kick. They're having a prayer meeting at the house, praying for Peter's release. God sends an angel, knocks the doors open. Peter's at the door, and they leave him standing there, saying, "Rhoda, you got to be kidding. You may not have figured it out yet, folks, but that's not effective intensity prayer. If there's a knock on the door, open the door, because you prayed it through. Amen? Amen. Prayer becomes, or wait just a minute. Praying intensely can only be done as we seek to give God the very best possible time each day. Your best time may be to get up 10 minutes early and just give God 10 minutes of adoration, love, and worship. Your best time might be sometime in the afternoon. Your best time may be in the evening, just before you retire, in a quiet moment. Find your best times, folks, and take advantage of them. Why? Because praying intensely, here we go in your notes and on the screen, can only be done as we seek to give God the very best possible time each day. Arlene and I grew up together. Forgive me for the illustration. She knows me very, very well. And I'm still trying to figure her out. She's a woman. Let me tell you something, folks. There are all the other women in the world. But for Roy, there's only Arlene. Praying intensely can only be done as we seek to give God the very best possible time each day. We gave each other time through the years, folks, in the tough times, in the rocky times, in the questionable times, what's going on? In the times when all hell raged against. And here we are, enjoying the journey. Because we spent time, quality time, not quantity necessarily, but quality, okay? The point of prayer is to get to God. Answers are most meaningful when they are thought of least. Prayer is most meaningful when God is thought of most. You have that in your notes? Let's go through it together again. The point of prayer is to get to God. Answers are most meaningful when they are thought of least. Prayer is most meaningful when God is thought of most. Amen. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to end with an incredible, for me, emotional story. But before I do, I would like a half a dozen of you right now, tell me what you just heard. What did God say to us, or what did the preacher communicate to us that God is saying to us? I want you to think for a moment. You filled in some blanks. You listened intently. You followed me. You tracked with me. Now stop and think. What did we just hear? What did God just say to us? I'm going to wait for a moment as you think, kind of pull it together. The reason why I'm doing this, folks, is because I want you to take ownership of this. If you will take ownership of this and start practicing this, if you will put these notes in your Bible, and tomorrow at that time, maybe in the morning before you start the day, pull them out, read a little portion of it, and act on it. God will change you, and it'll affect our church, and it'll affect the effectiveness of our church, okay? Here we go. Come on, a half a dozen of you. If you don't respond, I'm just going to point at you and say, you're next. Yes. Right. You got to put your heart into it. That's quality time. Shut the door. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll expand on it for just a second. Yeah.
Other things that you have to get done and just focus on your relationship with God.
Yep. And that we have to do that. Push the distraction to the side. Hey, buddy, okay? That is so good. A little bit louder so everybody can hear. That is so good. Shut the door to the stuff, open it to Christ. Wow, that's cool. Thanks, buddy. All right, someone else. Yes, sister. That's so good. A little louder. Isn't that powerful? To know him or know somebody, to know him, you must spend time with him. Excellent. All right? How many scriptures did we go down through? When you seek God, seek him with all your heart. My brother, did you? Oh, way in the back, okay? Oh, that's such a good one. Okay, a little bit slower and a little bit louder. Yeah, yeah. And that's an act of the will, you know? Because we're so busy. Well, I'm going to pray, but let's see, in 2 minutes I got it, in 5 minutes I got it, you know? Yeah. This is good. Pastor, you can be proud of your people. This is good. All right? Yes, Mary? That is so powerful, isn't it? It's just, any failure is a prayer failure. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's the home I grew up in. Pray, 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 you know. But look where I'm at today, and look where they're at. Amen. Yep. Any failure is a prayer failure. This is so good. We're going to go just a little bit longer. 2-3 more. Poke the person next to you and tell them, you've never said anything in church. Open your mouth. How about the preacher's kid? That grabs us, doesn't it? When you hear that, it grabs us, you know? In other words, simple way of saying, pray like you mean it. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Amen. Amen. How about you, brother? Isn't that a great quote, you know? Because when you read down through that, you see all kinds of ways, you know, people pray. It's like a repetitious thing. But the real prayer that touches the throne is the heart prayer. Excellent. Yes, sister.
Seek God, but believe what you speak.
Oh, that's good. All right. Amen. Amen. One more. How about Aaron back there? You got anything to say, buddy? Isn't that good? The last thing we said there. The answers are most meaningful when the whole purpose is to seek God. All right? Let me tell you a story. As a young minister, young evangelist, that changed me. Arlene and I graduated from college, and because of some wonderful circumstances earlier when we traveled for the school, we started our ministry in Montana. Montana opened their arms to us, and we just joined the Montana district, worked out of the district office. There was a pastor in Montana that we held a number of meetings for, and he was one of a couple of gentlemen in Montana that for me were fathers of the faith. He left Montana and went to Alaska and pastored the big church in Juneau, Alaska. He contacted us and said, there are a number of rural churches that they just don't get quality ministry. They're out of the way. You got to want to go there to get there. And he said, he encouraged me to challenge some of the churches to support us financially and send us to Alaska to go to these outlying churches and minister. Some of them were like you, sister. They were the Native American up there in Alaska. And it's just a great opportunity. And man, Alaska, if I can't hunt elk in Montana, turn me loose in Alaska, you know? And it all worked out, and we went to Alaska. One of the last churches we were in before we ended our tour by coming back to Juneau and holding a full-blown crusade in the church in Juneau. And the pastor there, our pastor friend from Montana, set it all up. I was in Yakutat, Alaska. Yakutat, Alaska is a beautiful place if you can get there when the sun's shining. Rains a lot, clouds, it's right on the ocean. But when it's clear, what an incredibly beautiful, you look like you're looking into the Alps. There are a number of renowned glaciers there. It's just my kind of place. And I got there a few days early because one of the key families in the church ran the fish processing plant. And they said, if you can come early, you can do a little moose hunting. And I prayed about it and got an answer before I said amen. And I got a moose. I've always wanted to go to Alaska and shoot a moose. And then the meeting started. The sanctuary was just about as big as our sanctuary here. The church had a number of Native Americans, had some people, and there was a small logging operation there. There were the people that worked in the fish industry. You get the picture. There was one family that worked with the Coast Guard at the radar site. It was like you, sister, a mother and her sons. I was just thrilled to be there. I'm just a kid. Love to preach God's word. Here I am in Alaska and Yakutat. I got up and preached on Sunday morning, brother, and all heaven broke loose. A revival just broke out. Sunday night, the place was, in essence, packed. People got saved, and many filled with the Holy Spirit every night of the meeting. And I'm just mesmerized. I think, this is great. I could hardly wait to get to church the next night to see what is God going to do tonight. You know, it was a move of God. I'd preach on salvation, they'd get filled with the Spirit. I'd preach on the Spirit, they'd get saved. It was God. You know, I just happened to be the person that was there. Every night when I would walk into the sanctuary, there was an elderly Native American lady who would sit almost where you are sitting, right next to the wall, two-thirds of the way back, same spot. She was always there before I got there. If I went over and greeted her, she would smile and shake my hand, but she never moved. She just sat there. When Thursday night, after the service, she said to me, tomorrow, she said, would you come by our home? I said, sure, I'd love to do that. So I found out from the pastor where she lived and how to get there. And at the appointed time, Arlene and I showed up. What a delightful experience. Fillets of salmon were hanging all over the place on the string. And the smoke was going up. And they were preparing their food for the winter. And salmon smell and smoke. And it is great. I love that kind of thing. And I thought, boy, this is so cool. And we walked in, and there she was, and she invited us into her home, very simple home. And after we got in and a few words, she turned around, and there was an old chest there. You remember those old chests that are kind of round on top, and you lift them up, and She had the lid lifted and she's rummaging around in the chest. And eventually she found what she was looking for. And she pulled out a kind of a ceramic grizzly bear. Not worth much. Very cheap. But it sits atop my bookshelf. And to me, it carries great value. Every time I walk into the kitchen and where our fireside room is and the bookshelf, there's that grizzly bear. I'm just a kid. I haven't got this thing figured out, but I'm sure enjoying the journey. And then I met one of the most special people in my life. As she held that grizzly bear, she said, "Thank you for coming to our town. Thank you for ministering," she said, "to my people." She said, "I have been praying for years. God, save my people." And all of a sudden, church, I felt so small. I felt so humbled. I was mesmerized in the awesomeness of what God had done, was doing. I had no idea that a Native American lady who didn't sing on the worship team, she didn't teach a class, seemingly in the church, she had no significant spot. She just showed up and took a spot. Boy, did I learn. That woman taught me the importance of praying scripturally, the importance of praying thoroughly. Go again. Go again. Go again. God, do something in our town. Do something among our people. Send someone who will connect with our people. She understood intimacy like I was yet to learn. And she lived in intensity that I didn't even know existed. And as she handed me that and she said, "I want to give you this to thank you for coming to our town and our church and giving my people the gospel." I'm telling you, I was moved. The tears were there. The heart was panting, folks, as I learned as a young man the power of one woman in a church in Nowhereville who prayed down the move of God. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Years later, I'm back in Yakutat, Alaska. This woman is in heaven. It's a young pastor. And I shared with him the story. He said, "I know about that." He said, "There are still people in the church today because of that revival." And I said, "No, it was because of that woman." Come on, church. Pray effectively. I'm pushing you right now. Sunday night is a prayer time in this church. show up. I'm serious. If God can do what he did in Yakutat, we have a strong church there today. In Nowhereville, folks. In Nowhereville. Because a Native American lady understood these principles and practiced them. Stand with your pastor. Unite together, folks. Show up. Pray your heart. Don't stare at the floor. Pray your heart. When you're at home and no one's around, shut the door and touch heaven and let heaven touch you.